You're listening to Irish Radio Canada at Home and Abroad, and I'm delighted to connect with Claire Gleeson, Dr. Claire Gleeson, because Dr. Claire Gleeson, while she may be a family practitioner, has recently published her first novel. She has previously published short stories, but her first full-length book, a powerful Show Me Where It Hurts, in that it is talking about what are issues that I think have affected every family one way or another, and that is that there's trauma, there's mental health issues, there's tragedy. And Claire has chosen to write in a way that I found very engaging, because it's a young family, a couple, who have two young children, and the father, who is suffering from mental health issues, for some stage and literally loses his mind and decides to take the lives of the whole family, but is unsuccessful and kills his two children. And his wife is struggling with the consequences and how to cope and how to deal. Claire, a very welcome, a very, I won't say heavy subject, but a very strong, powerful subject, and the title also very reflective of Show Me Where It Hurts, because the pain was very much inside, not visible, and that is often one of the challenges, given that you're a doctor dealing with the visible pain.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, hi, first of all, Austin, thank you for having me on today. I think you're right, and that's exactly where the title came from. I suppose one of the themes of the book is Rachel, the wife, the person who survives this incident, looking back over their marriage and wondering if there's something she could have spotted or something she could have done to avert the tragedy that happened. And I think she probably feels that if she had just known where exactly her husband was hurting and what he was feeling inside, that maybe there was something she could have done. So that was one of the reasons for the title. The character Rachel is a nurse as well, and I suppose it's something that she would say in that role. And then as a mother of young children, it's a phrase that I find myself saying 10 or 20 times a day kind of to the kids. So I suppose there were a few reasons why that title seemed to fit this story.
And also an aspect of the story I think that's very important is the great unsaid, because there were mental health issues that occurred in teenage years that Rachel wasn't aware of. And I know that she wondered, had she been aware of, would that have helped her also cope?
That's right, yeah. And I think she perhaps feels a little bit betrayed by Tom's family, maybe that they didn't fill her in on these past issues. But it's hard to say. In some ways, that's somebody's own private medical information. I don't know that anyone else has the right to share that without their consent. So I suppose the whole point in real life stories like these, there are no easy answers, and there's lots of questions and kind of lots of places that you look at and wonder if things had gone a slightly different way, there would have been a different outcome. But, you know, it's only in retrospect sometimes that the amount of pain and mental distress that somebody has been in becomes clear. And sometimes tragedy at a point where it's too late to change things.
And there was a lot of shame. You know, in families, there can often be a lot of shame around mental health, to the point where it is something you don't talk about. Don't let anybody outside the family become aware in case that a stigma happens.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think there's a long history, certainly in Ireland anyway, of people with mental illness being kind of shut away from society. That has improved an awful lot, definitely. And in recent years, there's been a lot more open discussion about mental illness and stuff. But I think still the extreme end of mental illness and psychosis, which is what Tom is dealing with in the book, is still fairly hidden. And I suppose often because the people who are suffering from that type of severe illness are less well able to speak publicly or to advocate for themselves. So I think things have improved, but there's still a long way to go. And there is certainly for many people, still a sense of shame around that type of illness.
Your writing style, I found it very engaging in how you chose to, every second chapter, go from the past to post the event, to pre the event and post the event. And it took me a little bit just to fully I won't say get on board, but just to get come to grips. But once sure. I did, it the whole thing and how you had it chronologically structured on both sides of the event was wonderful.
Thank you. Yeah, I know some people certainly have a preference for a more linear structure there and can be put off by going back and forth. And I suppose that's just a question of what you like to read yourself. But I suppose what I wanted to do was in some ways for the two timelines to mirror each other to a certain extent, to go back far enough in the earlier timeline that we could see the origins of Rachel and Tom's marriage and the relationship and see them when they were happy and when life was good. And then that time sort of telescopes into the tragedy that happens at the very beginning of the book, and then it moves out again in the other direction. I was very keen that by the end of the novel we would be far enough in the future that readers could see some sort of a future for Rachel, you know, could envision how that might go. So we needed, I suppose, the book ends 10 years after that mm-hmm. initial tragedy. We can see the sort of life that Rachel has managed to rebuild for herself.
So, Claire, while this is your debut novel, what was the writing evolution of Claire Gleeson?
I've been plugging away at it for a long time. I suppose I was, like most writers, I was a big reader as a child. I really read to the exclusion of almost everything else. So I always knew it was something I would do one day. And then I went to college, to medical school, and you know, when you're a junior doctor, the hours are long, there's not much time for anything else. So it was really, once I moved into general practice or family practice, the working hours calmed down a little bit and I was able to kind of look at writing again and look at taking it seriously with a view to publishing something. So I started writing short stories then and sending them out to journals and competitions. And then I started a novel, and I wrote two novels before this one that didn't, you know, they're tucked away in a drawer somewhere virtually, and they didn't manage to get a publisher. But I suppose it's all part of the apprenticeship, and it's only by writing for years, you know, that you build that muscle. And looking back at those early novels now, I'm glad they weren't published. You know, they're not. I'm glad that this is the first one that has gone out into the world.
Right. Well, probably, and I'm sure you will probably revisit those, and they will give you the platform for re-editing and presenting them in a different way. Were you surprised by the reaction? Because I know that Show Me Where It Hurts has got a good reaction and been well received. Were you surprised by that?
Yeah, I was. It's certainly something I was nervous about. I suppose when you're writing about such a sensitive topic, you just really want to do it well and to do it authentically and in a way that doesn't feel exploitative or, I suppose, emotionally manipulative of the reader. Because I think it's very easy to fall into that trap when it is such a high stakes scenario you're writing about. And I was very conscious that, you know, there are families in Ireland for whom this has been the reality, you know. So it was really gratifying then to hear from readers that that they enjoyed it, that they found it felt true and authentic. A few reviewers got in touch to say that they had lived with people with severe depression or severe mental illness, and that, you know, they recognised themselves in the characters in the story, and that they're the most meaningful reviews of all, I suppose. Mm-hmm. So, yes, mm-hmm. I was very pleased with that.
So have you in any way sensed a change in your relationship with some of your patients that have become aware that you're no longer just Dr. Claire, Dr. Gleeson, but you're the writer Claire Gleeson?
One or two have mentioned, all right. Everybody has been incredibly nice about it, which is lovely. But mostly I'm able to keep my kind of those two working lives separate, which is certainly how I prefer it to be. But I absolutely think, as a doctor and as a general practitioner in particular, you're really privileged to be given such an insight into people's lives, you know, and people will open up to you about things they might never have told anyone before. So, well, you obviously would never put a patient story directly into a book. It does, I think, increase your insight into just the breadth and depth of what people's lives are like, you know, and I think as a writer, that can only help you.
Interesting when you say that, because I've seen a criticism of many doctors that while they may ask the question, show me where it hurts, they're asking it for the physical demonstration or the exhibition of where it hurts as distinct from asking a question. And often doctors can be very uncomfortable if the patient opens up with what might be mental health issues.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think it's something you can only get better at by doing it. You know, I mean, you can read all the kind of textbooks in the world about how to talk to people about emotions or about grief or mental illness in general. But I know myself, I'm much better at it now than I was 20 years ago when I first, you know, began practicing medicine, and have got more comfortable, I think, particularly with just allowing silences to develop and not trying to rush in and fill the gaps. I think as doctors particularly, we have a tendency to do that, to want to fix things, you know, and to not, to know that some things can only be fixed by time, but just having a sympathetic ear is often part of that healing process, and that in itself can help. And I think in family practice, maybe unique to that, you have the opportunity to see people over and over again, you know, and throughout their lifespan. So you do develop a relationship, and I think that relationship is often as important as, you know, anything you can prescribe or any specialist you can refer on to.
Claire, is there another book in the works at the moment?
Yes, I have two ideas, and I have to settle down on one and just write it. At the moment, I have one third of two books, which is less useful than having two thirds of one book. But yeah, there's definitely sometimes when you're in the middle of a project, you think I'll never have another original idea again, but you always will eventually. So yeah, I have a couple of things that I'm playing around with, and hopefully I'll be able to say more about those soon.
Yeah, and given that you have another life, which is very demanding, do you have to structure your week in such a way that you can set time aside for creative writing?
Absolutely, yeah. I'm lucky to be able to work part-time. So I work as a GP 3 short days per week. I also have 3 children who are primary school age, so they obviously take up a lot of time as well. And the daily routine is still very much set by them to a certain extent. So at the moment, I have 2 mornings that I can devote fully to writing, and I try to get another session in at the weekend as well. So nothing happens very quickly, but it does happen eventually.
So then when you're not in those times, is the mind itching, and are you scribbling notes
constantly? Yeah, I make great use of the notes app on my phone, so it's often late at night or just before you fall asleep, you think of an idea or a nice turn of phrase or something. And I've learned, to my shame, if you tell yourself I'll remember that in the morning, you never do. So you really have to write it down there and then. So yeah, the story is constantly kind of churning away there in the back of my mind, and I think, you know, that is writing as well. It's the thinking about it until you can get back to the computer again.
The book Show Me Where It Hurts, it is available, and you can go to, I would strongly recommend always you go to independent booksellers. And Claire, would you recommend people go to a particular site rather than necessarily the global ones? Is there anywhere?
Sure. I'm always very pleased to shop at independent booksellers. One of my favourites here in Ireland is Kenny's Bookshop, which your listeners may be familiar with. And I know they offer worldwide shipping at extremely reasonable rates, so it's always worth a visit.
It is. That's Kenny's in Galway. Been around a long, long time. And indeed. Claire Gleeson, it's been a real pleasure meeting you and chatting with you. And congratulations, and thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you very much for having me. I really enjoyed it.